We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire.
What is up, Nets fans? Welcome to the Brooklyn Buzz. I'm Nick Faye, hitting with a recap of the Nets win over the Cavs, 120-101. A nice way to bounce back after two disappointing losses, and obviously last night to the Hornets and Thursday against the Pistons. We're going to jump to this one and plenty more. Make sure you check the Buzz on all streaming platforms. But like I said, you know, nice to see the Nets bounce back. Just trying to enjoy games like this. You know, things were just flowing really well for Brooklyn, especially in the second half. But first half was good basketball as well. Hit some ridiculous shots. You know, the season's not necessarily going the way we want, and you know, the play-in tournament's probably unlikely, and even if they do get in, they probably won't even make it to the playoffs. But getting to this game and trying to find things to enjoy for the rest of the season, I think this was a fun watch. And obviously when some of the team's best players play well, it makes the team more exciting. You know, we saw Mikal Bridges really bounce back in this game. 25 points, 9 of 14 from the field, 5 of 8 from 3, 2 of 2 from the free throw line, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, 1 turnover, and he was just more active. You know, he just looked more comfortable, you know, didn't have bad body language. Also, I thought his off-ball movement was really well, and he was kind of taking some more of those floating threes, just looking confident and playing his game. You know, he didn't necessarily have the ball in his hands a ton, which is, you know, where he probably excels when the load is not as big offensively on him and he can play off-ball and kind of let things come to him. You know, defensively, I thought he disrupted a couple things in this game as well. And Cam Thomas, you know, second game back returning from injury, he was cooking. He was running the offense, especially in that second half, hit some ridiculous shots. You know, the one at the end of the third, then also that 4-point play in the fourth quarter. You know, Cam finished with 29 points, 9 of 19 from the field, 5 of 7 from 3, 6 of 8 from the free throw line, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, 1 turnover, plus 27, a team high. Cam Thomas was just doing it all, and I think, you know, this is another really good complete game for Cam, you know, given he's got the rebounding, he has the assists. You know, there was one play in this game where he drove, he made a bad decision and probably, you know, left his feet, but was still able to find somebody in the right corner. And those are the types of plays that he needs to continue to do. And also, I think it's really important to note, Cam Thomas, the way he started the third quarter was not great. You know, had a turnover, a bad foul, got blown by defensively, but was still able to bounce back in that second half and light it up and really, you know, be the best player on this team and lead things offensively, ignite things. And that's the progress you want to see. You know, we talked about it. I just mentioned, you know, not really much to look forward to the rest of the season or high hopes or anything, but you want Cam Thomas to get these reps and get the experience and really let him learn on the fly. And hopefully he can kind of correct some of those mistakes as the game progresses. And that's real growth, and that gives you real hope for the player he can become in the future. So again, nice progress for Cam in some areas. Still kind of dealing with that injury, not 100%, but 29 points plus 27, definitely will take it. Going to the other guard in the backcourt, continues to play well and looking like a great trade for the Nets. And, you know, as I've mentioned many times, you know, probably could have switched the trajectory of the season if that trade happens a few months sooner. You know, I think, you know, we've seen Dennis Schroeder really produce, but he's also helped unlock other guys, especially Nick Claxton. And tonight, you know, Schroeder with 17 points, 7-11 from the field, 3 of 5 from three, some really good from three. You know, he's getting plenty of space, has a slow release, and when he gets that time, he can knock down those shots. He did hit a crazy three in this game as well, but 8 assists, 2 steals, did have 4 turnovers, +9, and again, as I mentioned, you know, finding clacks on those oops, really getting pressure downhill with his speed on those pick and roll situations, and gives the Nets just a real guy who can take his man one-on-one and get downhill and disrupt things. And on a night the Nets are knocking down threes at over a 50% rate, you know, when you have a guy that can penetrate and get the things moving, with Dennis Schroeder, that's huge. And he knows how to just ignite the offense and not necessarily look to score for himself. As I mentioned, you know, Cam Thomas playing well in that area. Overall, I think the team did a nice job driving and kicking. And I think simply it's easier to play good basketball when guys are executing and knocking down shots. You know, if you think everyone's going to knock down their threes, you're willing to make that extra pass. And in games past, we've seen guys kind of hold on to the ball, hesitate, because there's a level of uncertainty with this team and, you know, their talent level, and they're able to produce consistently. And this is another night of a high three-point variance. And that's what's going to happen. We've talked about it over the last month. You know, games they shoot well from three, they have a chance to blow teams out. You know, I think you go back to, you know, some of their other blowout wins, you know, against the Hawks, you know, another great game from three. When they did beat Memphis a few weeks ago, that was another game where they got really hot from three. So three-point variance is always going to be a thing in the NBA, but even more so, I think, with this Nets team, given some of their other weaknesses and lack of strength, so they don't necessarily have those go-to options all the time offensively, and they don't have the space on the floor for even the options they do have to really, you know, excel offensively. So
we're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
But getting to Nick Claxton in this game, you know, it seems like he turns it up a little bit when he has matchups with Jared Allen. And tonight, he got the better of that matchup, finished with 16 points, 7-10 from the field, 2-2 from the free throw line, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal. And just overall, I thought it was a solid game from Claxton. You know, I think Jared Allen put up numbers, but most of the time that did not come against Claxton, who just was doing a nice job of being an option on those pick and roll situations. You know, and obviously, as I mentioned, things got feisty in this game. Niang and Claxton get into it after Mikal Bridges hits a bucket. Niang essentially throws Claxton into Bridges. Clax falls to the ground. Bridges gets hit with an elbow, and then Niang steps over Claxton, obviously trying to ignite some things. They both get teed up, obviously. Seemed kind of odd. Felt like, you know, Niang should have probably got a little bit more, given he started and kind of continued to, you know, spice things up even more when he stepped over Clax. But Again, I think, you know, Claxton, when he's energized and has a little feistiness in him, is when he plays his best basketball. And we saw tonight he was able to be impactful and solid offensively and defensively. Dorian Finney-Smith in this game, you know, not necessarily super productive, but it wasn't a night they needed him to be. It wasn't those one of those nights where you needed, you know, six offensive rebounds from DFS or five threes or something like that. He finished with 11 points, 3 of 10 from the field, 3 of 9 from 3, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 block. Did give the Nets some defensive coverage flexibility. You know, saw him at Jared Allen at different times, and his ability to kind of deal with Cleveland's bigs, you know, just gave the Nets more comfort on that end of the floor, where I thought the Nets did a nice job kind of forcing the ball out of Darius Garland's hands and just said, hey, someone else beat us. And, you know, given that they're missing Donovan Mitchell right now and Max Strus, they weren't able to, you know, find the guys to knock down shots and create enough, especially on a night that Caris LeVert was really bad for the Cavs. So Nets' defensive game plan and overall defensive play was really solid in this one. Getting over to the bench, Lonnie Walker, you know, returned from illness, did not necessarily play good in this game. 4 points, 1 of 6 on the field, 0 of 2 from three, 1 rebound, 1 assist. Never really had a large chunk of minutes or, you know, super active in the rotation. It looked like Kevin Ollie wanted to go with Dennis Smith Jr. in this game a little bit more, who was very effective defensively. You know, offensively has his issues and lack of spacing, but defensively, in a game where the Cavs had Darius Garland and a whole bunch of guards that aren't necessarily super secure ball handlers, DFS was able to force some turnovers, just disrupt things out there, especially when you had the combination of Dennis Smith and Dennis Schroeder back there. Those two guys were really, you know, hounding defensively and making the Cavs guards feel uncomfortable and taking some of that shot clock away and just not letting them get into their sets well. And I think Dennis Smith Jr. gets some credit for that, and offensively, you know, did enough, set up some guys and was a plus 22 in this game. So, you know, we'll take that for Dennis Smith Jr. over to Jalen Wilson. You know, played rotation minutes and garbage minutes in this game. 7 points, 2 of 4 from the field, 2 of 2 from the free throw line, 1 of 2 from three, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block, 2 turnovers. Wilson, obviously a rookie, has his moments where you see the motor, but I think his overall experience and feel for the NBA is not quite there yet. He's going to get that with more game reps and more opportunities out there, which he should the rest of the season. Dayron Sharp, overall solid game for him. You know, I think his passing stuck out with 4 assists tonight. 4 points, 2 of 2 from the field, as I mentioned, 4 assists and 3 rebounds, 1 block, plus 17. Solid game from Sharp. Did what the Nets needed him to do. Him and Clax gave you solid center minutes tonight. And everyone else, Trenton Watford, Keita Bates-Diop, Noah Clowney, all played in garbage time. So really every Net that played real minutes in this game was solid to good. And you had good performances by your key players. You know, your 4 of your 5 starters really showed up. And Cam Thomas, Mikal Bridges, and Schroeder really played great games. You know, and Claxton was good too. So you get that, you're going to win a lot of games. And also it helps, the Cavs are missing guys, but, you know, Detroit's not super talented, the Hornets aren't super talented, and the Grizzlies were missing a ton of players, and the Nets still couldn't get it done. And obviously the Hornets were missing LaMelo Ball. So take the wins when you can get them. The Nets now 3.5 games behind the Hawks. Not that it really matters, but just something to maybe keep an eye on if you're still into that thing. And, you know, getting to tonight, as we talked about, you know, when the team is locked in, plays with a level of cohesion, defensively, they're trying to disrupt things and playing to the game plan and forcing lesser players to try to beat them, and offensively finding weaknesses instead of trying to attack the other team's best players, and playing as a team and really understanding leverages and staying active with the ball and without the ball, you're going to have opportunities to win. And the Nets have not played to this level consistently, you know, over the course of the last month. If they have, you know, they probably wouldn't have won those 3 games we've talked about in terms of Charlotte, Detroit, and Memphis. And then you probably could go back, you know, down the line and find some other wins in there too, you know, maybe Toronto. But again, getting to this Nets team, you know, this is how we hope they play, you know, since the trade deadline, and how they really have played, wanted them to play all season long, and you haven't got that. And I think to an extent it makes this win almost frustrating, because it's like, all right, we see that you're able to play a level of competent basketball and play with a level of consistency and execute things at a high level. You know, not that you expect them to shoot, you know, 50% from three every night, but, you know, playing with the level of penetration and ball movement and defensive cohesion, those three things have not been there consistently. You know, tonight we're talking about 33 assists on 42 made field goals. You know, that's over 75% of the shots were assisted in this game. That's really good team basketball. And as we talked about too, you know, you had 8 assists from Schroeder, but you also had 5 from Cam Thomas, 5 from Mikal Bridges, 4 for Dorian Finney-Smith, 3 for Nick Claxton, 4 for De'Ron Sharpe. There's just a lot of passing and guys are just looking for the open man and playing good basketball. And good things are going to happen. You know, there's going to be nights where you probably still lose because maybe the other team is more talented or, you know, had a crazy shooting night. But hey, at least you put out a good product and you left it out there in a positive way. The last, you know, 3 losses that I keep mentioning, we didn't necessarily see that. You know, the Nets played to 85% of what they did tonight in those other games, there's a good chance they win those 3 games. And we're talking about them being, you know, half a game behind the play-in spot of the Hawks and, you know, riding good momentum going into the final stretch of the season and there being a level of excitement. But instead, you know, they fell flat in those games and they cannot find their consistency. And I think a lot of that is the players this season. You know, a lot of guys are just not performing consistently or performing at a high level or performing even to expectations. You know, you go down the list and say, you know, who's having a really good season and who's having a better season last year. You know, Cam Thomas has made improvement, De'Ron Sharpe has made improvement, Lonnie Walker probably you could say has made improvement, but Mikal Bridges hasn't been better, DFS hasn't been better, you know, Nick Claxton hasn't been better, Dennis Schroeder obviously has only been here for a little bit, and then you go down the list, Cam Johnson, who's out right now, he hasn't been better. So all these different guys underperforming for this team and not playing consistently is really why we're getting the product we get from this Nets team. And that's why I think this season has been so frustrating, because you know the guys haven't lived up to the expectation, and it's not just one guy, and it's like the Nets really banked on this plan in terms of ownership and, you know, the front office, and this is the result we're getting. And I think the fact that they banked on it and weren't able to, you know, bounce off that plan when they had potential offers at the trade deadline for Mikal Bridges or the likes of DFS, Nick Claxton, whoever it was, that's what gets frustrating. It's like it feels like they're being stubborn trying to stick with it, even though we have a sample size saying that, hey, maybe these guys aren't as good as you probably thought. But that's going to be an off-season topic. Again, enjoy the win tonight. We'll see how the rest of the season plays out. And again, big thanks everybody for listening. Check out The Buzz on all streaming platforms.